Hi everyone, this is Jackie with Cashflow Depot and I want to welcome you to our conference call tonight. My guest speaker is David Tilney, most of you have probably already heard of David Tilney and you know about him and his amazing hassle-free property management and master leasing techniques. But for the benefit of all the new people on the call that haven't really heard of you or haven't ever heard of master leasing, David, could you give them a little bit of background about who you are, when you got started in real estate, and just a quick overview of what this master leasing is that I've been talking about.
Okay. Bought my first house in 1978, and I would have to say I was pushed, pulled, and dragged into buying that property. Bought it with a friend. We bought subject to a low-interest loan. A lot of you young folks won't understand that a low-interest loan back then was 8%. I took it subject to that, used the credit cards to come up with a down payment. Then we wrapped the financing, sold the property, and we were on our way. So that was the way I started. I got involved in managing property only after testing three different companies managing our own properties and finding they just didn't have the attention to detail and follow through. And so I took on other properties besides my own just to cover my overhead. Developed that for a while, built up a nice book of business to support my family. And eventually I transitioned and I canceled every one of my agency relationship where I worked for owners managing their property. And I turned around and leased their properties as a tenant with the right to sublease them. And then I took a spread. And that really changed my business. We did that first in 1984. October 1st of 1996, we canceled every agency relationship we had, and we turned around and masked everything we previously used to manage and did not lose one account. So that's kind of the background. In telling you that, I told you a little bit about master leasing. It's when you lease a property from one entity and you turn around and sublease it to another entity. And you can, the terms of your lease with the owner, it all depends on what the owner's needs are. It's not a one size fits all. It's not like a management company when you call them up and you say, how much do you charge? And they tell you their fee schedules. With master leasing, you really look to the owner's needs. What do they need? Give them what they need and see what's left and see what you can use of the benefits that are left. Before I really go more into that, I want to back up for a minute and tell you that, you know, the biggest thing that I always hear from many people that want to get in the real estate business or who are in the real estate business is it would really be a great business if you just didn't have to deal with tenants and toilets. And I'm here to tell you that unless you can change that mindset and look at tenants very differently than that they are the problem, then you shouldn't get in this business. To me, my houses are not my biggest assets. My tenants are my biggest assets. Without my tenants, I have nothing. And my tenants are incredible people. I'd like to, if I've got the time to do it, give you two examples because it really points out things that happened this last year, one that happened within the last 3 weeks. But it really shows you how the relationship can be so much different. It can be one of a team effort to create the best worlds for both the landlord and the tenants. Tenants will do an incredible job for you. They'll do wonderful things. So I'm gonna start off on that because I really want to bend your minds a little bit and have you change your viewpoints of tenants because I think that's – before you do that, if you can't do that, you really shouldn't pursue it any further. You ought to just flip properties or do something else. But I would tell you being a landlord is a wonderful experience as far as I'm concerned. And just to tack on to that for a second, I tell you I'm 68 years old, and as a landlord – no one can tell me I have to quit. You think about it. You know, old folks, they get cut off from people. I've got people I can talk to whenever I want to talk to them. It keeps me energized. I'm dealing with different issues. But for a moment, let me go back and give you two things that came up within the last year. I spend 8 months of the year in Naples, Florida, and 4 months in Colorado Springs. And our properties are all in the Colorado Springs area. So last winter, when I was in Naples, I got a call on a Saturday night at about 8 o'clock my time, Naples time. And I turned my phone off because I was actually at a church function, so I didn't get the call. And I got a second call, and both calls said, please call. It was from a tenant. So the next morning when I woke up, and I am an early riser, so at 5 a.m. Naples time, I got the message. And I knew I couldn't call my tenants then because it was too early. So instead, I texted him. And within 30 or 60 seconds, I got a call back. And what had happened was my tenant had been in his family room, and he walked back to the bedrooms on Saturday night and discovered all the carpets were floating in water. And so he immediately turned off the water at the meter. But the problem was there was a break before the meter, and it was under the concrete pad. So he called a plumber, and he had a plumber there for 7 hours pumping out the water. It just kept coming in as fast as it was being pumped out. And so then he also called the water company and got the after-hours water number and got the number for someone in Castle Rock, Colorado, which is probably pushing an hour and a half away from this property. And the individual said, you certainly don't want me to come out because I'm too expensive. And the plumber who was in the house said, yes, we do. And the idea was that the water company, individual representing the water company, would come out and turn off the water at the curb stop and solve the problem. Well, he did come out, and he brought a map of the water lines, which was incorrect. He brought a metal detector, and he could not find the curb stop, and he slept in his car until sun came up on Sunday morning. Well, when I discovered this problem, I texted my main contractor, and there was about 5:30 in Colorado Springs time, and my text did wake him up, so he called me back, and I told him the problem, and he immediately grabbed his jackhammer and concrete saw and drove about an hour from the east side of Colorado Springs up to Woodland Park. And it took them until 2 o'clock, roughly 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, before they could turn the water off. And he was the one that found the cutoff. He discovered that the water company, when they put in new lines through the entire area, they put a tube in for the key to go down. And when they backfilled the hole, they bent that tube. So he had to jackhammer the frozen earth and take it off. And he got the water off. And then he went in and found the low point in the house was the master bath toilet. He pulled the toilet and the water ran out. So it's a unpleasant situation. A lot of water, big problem. I've got this tenant there. And when I spoke to the tenant, on Sunday afternoon, the very first thing he told me, very first, was, I want you to know I don't expect any money from you. Now, that's an unusual response from a tenant in a landlord-tenant situation. He had to move out of the house for a week. I never lost the tenant. We solved the problem. He moved back, and we're doing business today. But that attitude thing is so incredibly important. I had another situation just before I left, and we took a 3-week road trip, had a wonderful time. Just before I left on the road trip, I discovered that a house that I've owned for probably 15 years had polybutylene piping. And I didn't know much about polybutylene piping and didn't think a lot about it until I spoke to some folks and discovered it can create pinhole leaks in the wall and cause all kinds of damage. And we had a supply line to a toilet already go. So we knew we had a problem. And I essentially had to replumb the entire house, and the house is occupied by a tenant. So I got the tenant on board. I went and told them that I was concerned about their situation in that, you know, I would do what they wanted, but we tend to be proactive. And I really felt we needed to change the plumbing in this house, the entire plumbing. But I would not do it while they were there if they didn't want me to. They got on board, and on a four-story, four-bathroom house, we gutted all the original plumbing while I was on my trip, replaced it, took out the sheetrock, put the sheetrock back, did tiles and everything, and the tenants are happy. And there's no question about, do we prorate any rent? Do we do anything else? Tenants are on board. They're good people. And what I want to really let people know up front is, you know, managing properties is just a wonderfully fun thing, because you can be dealing with wonderful people, but you need to find the right people, which means you need to know how to manage. And I really think that if you're going to be in this business long term, boy, you want to own real estate. And if you want to own real estate, because at some point in time, you know, you may not think of it now, but at some point in time, you may not be willing to work, or may not physically be able or willing to work. And flipping and some of the other things require activity. Running rental properties does not require activity if you've set it up right. It's a very passive situation if you've handled it right. It's not sexy. It's not, you know, it's not how to make $5 million in 3 minutes without working, or how to hide your assets. But I think it's the most important thing to learn. And before you can look at building an income stream through master leasing, you have to know how to manage. That's the basic tenet. Now, what's so great about master leasing? Well, master leasing is what we told our kids to do in starting out. You know, most people don't start out with a checking account with $3 million in it to go buy properties. And property values have been going up, you know, since the last downturn of 2010. And so it's harder and harder to get a start. But if you can lease a property from someone and turn around and sublease it and take a spread, it doesn't take any capital. And if you're doing business in the real estate business, no one is going to do business with you unless they first trust you. And master leasing their properties takes some trust. But if you can get that little bit of trust, it gives you time to get to know the owners, to get them comfortable with you, to have them trust you. And let's face it, every property is going to be sold at some point in time. And if you have done a job where you have underpromised and overperformed, you are going to be the ones that the owners are going to want to do business with when the property, it's time to get rid of the property. You will find they will give you owner financing. They will give you give away some of their value to you. Again, the real estate business is a business of relationships, and you really need to develop relationships, both tenants with owners. That's what it's about, and creating trust with tenants and owners. Many times I'll ask people in a room, how many people have been a tenant? And pretty much everyone's been a tenant at some point in time in their life. And then I'll say, well, how many people were lousy tenants? And someone always raises their hands. And I'd say, well, don't do business with people like you. But most people are decent people. And the key, one of the things I see that property managers, at least I believe they're doing wrong right now, is they're automating everything. And I've got to tell you, we're pretty good at systems and automating stuff. But fee managers I find now are doing self-showings with applicants looking at the house. They're filling out applications online. They're signing leases online. And they're giving out keys through a lockbox so they never, ever meet the person living in the properties. And I would just suggest that unless you can share expectations with the people who are going to be in your properties as to what they can expect from you and what you do expect from them, you will fail. So you need some time with your tenants. That doesn't mean you have to show properties. We don't show properties. We don't inspect properties. We have systems to do that. But we do meet with tenants and share expectations before we ever give them the keys to our castle. So I hope some of you may think, well, I mean, I know some of you think that's ridiculous. That can't work. Tenants are liars. They never look better than the day they move in. It only goes downhill from then. That's not my experience. A lot of you have heard of the golden rule, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. I think the platinum rule is a much more valuable rule. The platinum rule says treat others the way they want to be treated. And everyone you're dealing with is different. And so your job as a landlord is to find out what's important to your tenants. If you view your tenants as if they're your employees hired to do a job, which is exactly what we view our tenants as, then you've got to know what the job description is. And just to share my job description for my tenants, number one, it's to maintain and improve the house and grounds. That's the number one thing I'm looking for. And we share the job description with everyone before they move into our properties. Number two, it's obviously pay the rent on time. If they don't want to do that, they won't want to do business with us because we're too tough. Number three, we want them to get along with the neighbors. Number four, I look them in the eye and I say, I want you to stay at least until you die, and hopefully until your kids die after you. I want long-term occupancy. Turnover costs money. Lastly, I want them to know that we're going to treat them with respect, and if they can solve minor problems in the house, they don't need us. They can use us as a resource for anything that they can't solve, and we give them access to all of our preferred vendors for any kind of a service that they might need. But we want them to, we understand that in a single family house, your tenant is really the on-site resident manager. Unlike any other piece of real estate, on multifamily properties, the landlord has to provide services. In my neck of the woods here in Colorado Springs, we have to plow driveways in the winter. We have to take care of landscaping in the summer. But if you have a single family house where the tenant can walk outside the front door, walk all the way around the property, and tell others to stay off of his property, then if you can get that tenant to internalize and take your house and make it his home, he will do an incredible job if you treat them fairly and you're honest with them. Treat them with respect. But the only thing I'd like to communicate is this has been an incredible way to generate income for my family. It's been a wonderful thing over the years. Now I can go in and do a little bit more on master leasing, and if that's okay, Jackie.
Well, let me throw in one more thing before you get into master leasing. You know, I've been to your seminar, and it all starts with the property management because, like you said, without knowing how to manage properties adequately, you can really screw up a master lease completely. So you really have to understand the management part of it, the property management part of it, before you even decide you're going to be doing master leasing. Master leasing's great. But I think the thing that's most important about the way that you present the lease, I mean, you sit with the tenants, you go over the lease with them paragraph by paragraph, so they understand, like you said, it's a job description. They understand exactly what their job is as an occupant of that property, and they understand exactly what your job is also. And the other thing that I really like about your technique for managing properties is you treat the tenants with respect. I think so many times when people have been tenants, they're treated like they're little children, and they're told what to do and when to do it and what they can't do and all these other things. But because you treat tenants with respect, you get that respect back. And that's why you have that wonderful relationship with all of your tenants, and it makes your job so much easier. So learning the management part is essential for success. Whether you do master leasing or you just own rental properties, you have to learn how to adequately manage properties.
Yeah, obviously I agree. To me, that lease-up time spent with an applicant, it's the final sieve in the screening process. And if the shared expectations don't match, it's very easy to terminate the discussion and say, gee, what we're trying to accomplish and you're trying to accomplish isn't the same thing. Let's shake hands and be friends. It's not going to work. And allow the tenants, applicants, a way to bow out and save face and, you know, go lease it to someone else. But I really do think the core of my business clearly is the management aspect. The master leasing is the sexy part that everyone likes, but it's really the easy part. If you get the management down, the master leasing is a piece of cake. The nice thing about master leasing is, think about this for a second. You can lease a property from an owner on a fixed basis, which says, I'll pay you so much a month, whether it's vacant or full. I'll take care of the expenses for the repairs up to a stop loss. Or you can lease a property from an owner and say, I'll pay you a percentage of the rent that I get if and when I get it. If I don't get it, I don't owe you anything. And you pay all the expenses a la carte, or you can do anything in between. So there's tremendous flexibility to make a deal. You can deal with people who are risk adverse. Those are the folks that are going to want you to guarantee the rent, whether it's vacant or full. You can deal with people who are not risk adverse and have thin margins, or maybe they do not have a margin on the rents, meaning your marketing approach to them is not that we're going to make you a bunch of money, but it's that we're going to lose you less monthly cash flow than you're losing right now with a vacant house. And so you can tailor everything that you do to, you got to start with the owner and say, what are their needs? And once you find out their needs, if you don't meet those needs, you're not going to lease the property. But if you can meet their needs, and there's lots of other things left, you just got to determine what they are. The length of time of your lease can be a consideration. You know, I leased a house once for 35 years at a fixed rent. That was a profitable endeavor, and I didn't do it with someone who was walking wounded. I actually did it with a real estate broker who was a friend. We just looked at, from both of our perspectives, what made the most sense. I offered to lease option a property for 10 years or master lease it for 35, and in his case, he was a lender, and his income all came in dribs and drabs of interest and principal, and he was really eating his principal over time. So if he remained entitled, he thought he might get some benefits from remaining entitled. And 10 years down the road, when we sold the property, we carved up the appreciation. We split it up. So I got some cash flow, and I got some appreciation on the property when we sold it. But I'm not sure. Where do you want me to go with this, Jackie? You want me to talk about people I know that have changed their lifestyle and supported themselves real well just from starting a master leasing business? Because I know many of them.
Yeah, I know many of them too. Your son-in-law is one of them, John, in Colorado. And Michael in Florida, I know a long list of people that are making really, really good income. So you might talk about some of your students that started with absolutely nothing. And like you said, it's changed their life. They're making $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month in cash flow now.
Sure. Okay. Some of you on this call may not be subscribers to Cash Flow Depot because Jackie allowed me to pass out the number. And so let me tell you, there's some great master leasing examples on there that are available at no additional charge for people who are members, and I really recommend it. John Cain and Lauren Brand have a wonderful video that they did in Panama. There are a couple that came to Colorado with a pop-up camper, and they ended up in the Dillon area. And they'd taken my class and they started master leasing some properties. And last time I heard, which was on that video, which was quite some time ago, they were generating $20,000 a month off of master leasing and had lots of time to go skiing or camping and anything else they wanted to do. Most people on this call could probably do okay on $20,000 a month. They're one. Matt Funk, who's a good friend, and he did print my manual for a couple of years in Tampa, and he came to the class, and he sold his printing company, and his wife was working, and he stayed home raising a couple of young kids. And just out of his backyard, around his swimming pool, he started master leasing, and he's replaced his income and most of his wife's income, and again, has a great lifestyle. Jan Leisure, great friend from Monterey, California. And I'm giving you different locations so you can see it works everywhere. It works in high price markets, works in low price markets. It doesn't matter. If you're only going to pay a percentage, let's say, I mean, these are not numbers carved in stone, but just an example. If you agree to pay 90% of whatever collected rent you collect to an owner, how are you going to go broke? You're not going to owe anything unless you make something first. Just examples. Jan Leisure, she was in a market. You know, there's some markets where houses won't sell. And she's in a market, Pebble Beach, where they got real high-priced houses. So she went to the owners of, I think it was six properties, that maybe it was nine properties, that were listed for sale and said, let me lease your properties on a month-to-month basis and just give me 60 days notice if they go under contract and I'll cancel my lease. And in the meantime, you'll generate some income. Well, she did that and she made like $84,000 in 6 months. I haven't done that. She has an incredible business where all of her properties, like my son-in-law's, are master leased. Dwayne Talley is a guy out of Bonita Springs, Florida, and he was the sales guy that controlled the Narrows to a condo complex. And most of the condos in Southwest Florida, they don't allow short-term rentals, but in his particular complex, they did. And he was dealing with owners that had bought condos for retirement and they used them a limited amount of time and they wanted to rent them out. And he said, gee, you want to get in the rental pool? Here's what we do. And so he master leased these properties in the rental pool. He told me in 1 year he made $140,000 between Christmas and Easter just by master leasing these properties. I haven't done that. There's so many different ways to do this. It's absolutely incredible. My son-in-law right now is in his motorhome. I'm trying to think, near Ouray, Colorado, on vacation with his kids, and he supports himself and his family with master leasing properties. So I can come up with other names and other people, but it's a great way to start. And you don't have to quit your job. You don't have to, you know, spend 100% of your time doing this. You just have to get one. Put your big toe in the water. See how bad it hurts. And you'll find one leads to a second, to a third. And I met a guy one point in time that had spent $100,000 on credit cards taking real estate classes and hadn't been able to acquire a house. That's terrible. You know, you need to not spend the money, but generate the money. And master leasing is a great way to do that. Jackie, I cut you off.
Well, I wanted to give you a little example in Panama. I live in Panama, Central America, and I can do master leasing here also. Let me just give you one little example. There's a lady, a retired Panamanian school teacher, who had accumulated seven rental properties over the time, but she had a heck of a time getting them rented. They were vacant more than they were occupied. And, you know, and I'm always looking for rental properties because I have a tour business here, and there's always, my tour people are always looking for rentals. So I saw an ad that she had, and I called her about it, and her properties were completely different than all the other properties in my area. Most properties in Panama, where I live, they come furnished. Hers were furnished also, but they also include the water, the electricity, internet, cable TV, and a gardener every week. I mean, my electric bill is $20 a month, so they include all those things in the rent. So people, especially someone moving in from another country, they're used to paying one flat fee, and it includes everything. with her properties, it didn't. It was just the house. And she had really low rent, but people wouldn't rent her houses because it's like, well, where do I go to get my cable TV hooked up? How do I get my electricity hooked up? And she wasn't really willing to help them with that, so her houses sat vacant. So I agreed to master lease all of her houses at really, really low prices, and then I went and got electricity and cable TV and got a gardener for all of them so that I could sublease them with all those things included, which people were used to, and still have a really, really good cash flow. With the stroke of a pen, I got 7 rental properties all in one day, and she wanted a minimum of a 5-year lease, and with the right to renew for another 5 years if everything worked out. So, you know, spotting someone that has a lot of turnover, spotting someone that their property just isn't offering what other rental properties are offering, and for you to go in and be able to get that property at a really low price, it's a big opportunity for you. So you can do it, not just in the United States. You can do master leasing all over the world.
Yeah, that's a great example. You know, I'm going to give you one other example without giving the name on this one because it's I don't know whether how I'd feel about it. An individual I know in Florida was driving around and found a vacant house. And so he checked the tax rolls and found out who the owners were and contacted them. And his approach was, let me put some dollars in your hand on a monthly basis and take control of the house. And the owners got back to him and said, don't give us any money. Just take care of the house and pay the taxes and insurance. And they gave him a 5-year lease with no cost for the rent. And the house was free and clear. And he had 5-year renewals at the end of 5 years. He's in his second 5 years, to my knowledge, and he believes the owner has died. Now, tell me that's not pretty interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever you're leasing a house, you know, you've heard of lease options. You've all heard of lease options. And some people do that. They go right in for the lease with an option to buy. But sometimes it's better to just start with just leasing the property. Let the owner get real comfortable that you're going to make those payments on time. You're not going to call them. You're going to take care of the property. And then the circumstances can come up later that you might get an option, or the circumstances can come up later that they might want to sell the house and they can sell it to you with seller financing, like David was talking about. But I think that master leasing is one of the best ways to get your foot in the door to all those other opportunities that can happen later. But you don't have to go for the juggler right away. You don't have to get it right away. Just get your foot in the door with just leasing the house and show the landlord that you do what you say you're going to do, that you're going to take care of that property, and that you're going to put money, you know, in their bank account. I just usually put it right in their bank account here, but you're just going to put money right in their bank account early. Don't even wait till the last day. Put it in early, and then the doors are going to open up with the opportunities for you. So, David,
yeah, can I add something to that? Because I think
sure.
Most people think I do a lease option, and I don't, generally speaking, for exactly what Jackie said. Most people, owners, think that if they give you a lease option, they've given you something more than a lease. And they're either going to charge you something for the option consideration, or they're going to charge you inflated rent price because they gave you something more than a lease. The time when I will do a lease option right up front is if I'm dealing with an owner who does not want to lease it to me, but they do want to sell it. So in that case, I'll say, congratulations, you've just sold your house. This is the terms. However, I have to lease it until I have enough money down for the down payment to purchase it at some future time. So in that case, I will do a lease option if they don't want to lease it to me. But most people are less threatened leasing you the property than they are lease optioning you the property. And it's I think that if you have a good master lease, meaning it's long enough term, it has a term that runs long enough, and you secure your lease with either a deed of trust or a mortgage, then you almost have a self-option because, yes, they own the property, and yes, they can sell it to someone subject to your lease, but most people who are houses want rights of possession, and they don't get rights of possession they've got a long enough lease. And if they want to refinance the property, they got to come to you because you're already in the public records. And so you need to agree to subordinate to a new loan. And you're probably not going to agree to do that unless there's some benefit to you in the process. So it's a lower key, easier transaction to lease first. And then you also get to test drive the properties. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's other people on this call other than myself that have bought a property at some point in time that looked right, smelled right, and tasted right. And once they were in ownership, it wasn't right. Either the neighbors were wrong or the water has been my downfall from day one, you know, drainage or some problem. And so then you got to get out of title. Well, if you lease it first, you can decide whether the house even makes a good rental because not all houses make good rentals. There are so many other benefits, tax benefits. Think, you know, Peter Fortunato has his classic picture of the house where he breaks it down as to all the different benefits you can get from it: income, tax, profit, growth, management, use, amortization, security. There may be some others, but I think that's pretty much it. Most of those benefits you can get out of master leasing. You certainly can get the income. Tax benefits. People say, well, you don't get to depreciate it. Well, think about depreciation for a second. Most people depreciate a property over 27 and a half years, and then they recapture that upon sale. If you're leasing it, every dime you pay is an expense. It's a rental expense. You're writing off 100%, and there's no recapture. If you own the property, you can't write off the land. On a master lease, every darn single thing that you pay is a write-off. It's an expense. You don't have any alternative minimum tax preference items. Profit. You can sell or sublease your master lease to another entity, and I've done that several times. Management. Obviously, it allows you to manage your subtenant. Use, you can't use it unless you want to screw up your master lease, which I don't recommend. I think you want the income, so leave it alone. And amortization, you can get amortization if you couple your lease with an option, the equity in the property. So as the owner pays down his loan, you get that in your option. But good benefits, other tax benefits. Just think for a second. If you wanted to decide, you thought, well, management sounds better than I thought it did. Maybe I ought to form a management company and manage a bunch of houses. If you manage houses and you generate $100,000 worth of net income, your taxes, because it's earned income, are about $31,000, give or take. I don't have it right in front of me right now, but that's about what it is. If instead of managing the property, you lease those same properties, your taxable your tax is going to be about $19,000 instead. What's the difference? Rental income is passive income. Property management income is earned income. Passive income is not subject to self-employment tax, which is essentially 15%. So just by changing the title on the top of your paperwork from management agreement to a lease, if you've done nothing else, you've just given yourself a big increase in your bottom line. There's so many things in master leasing, it's just hard to know what to talk about in an hour's time.
Yeah, there's so many benefits. And for people that don't know, David teaches a seminar, once or twice a year, not very often, about how to learn how to be a really good property manager and also master leasing. So, David, I think you have another seminar coming up in September, right?
We do. It's the 27th through the 29th. It's in Costa Mesa, California, and if anyone is interested, they just have to remember my name, David Tilney, and if they go to davidtilney.com, and Tilney is spelled T-I-L-N-E-Y, EY. DavidTilney.com, you can see the information there.
Right. And also, if you sign up for the seminar before September the 6th, you get a discount. So you need to, sometime before September the 6th, make sure you go to DavidTilney.com and check it out. He has a long list of all the different things you're going to learn. And it's, you know, I know people that went to your class, you know, they got the paperwork, and they went out, and a week later, and they did their very first master lease, and they knew exactly what to do. They knew exactly how to set up the management of that property. They knew the right things to say. They knew the things not to do, which is just as important. Just from going to one class, their business has taken off from going to one class. So I highly recommend that class.
Well, thanks. You know, there's so many things that are good about it. If you think, very little bureaucratic control, unlike property management where there's a lot. You're a tenant. You're not an owner, so you have a very low profile. And if areas are pro-tenant, you are one. You know, everything changes. There's a lot, you know, and let's say owners, if you buy the house, oftentimes you get a rude awakening when you got to replace an air conditioning system or you got to put a new roof on. I put a new roof on also while we were on our road trip. If I'm a tenant, if I'm leasing the property, I pay for what I agree to pay for in the lease. The owner has to pay everything else. You're not the owner. Let the owner deal with those things. I think all of those things are, you know, there's just too many goodies in master leasing. And you don't have to look at master leasing just houses or just real estate. I dare say you could have a young graduate of a dental school come out and need to set up a practice, and you could master lease his office and his practice that you got a percentage of his income as it came in. Master leasing can be used for all kinds of things. It's just very, very valuable. You can master lease trailer parks and sublease it. You can master lease apartment buildings and sublease it. Now, I would say that if you were going to master lease a multi-unit, since the value of the multi-unit is based on the income stream it puts off, in that case, I would very strongly suggest that you get some percentage of the increased value that you create by raising rents and squaring away things in the property. So in that case, a lease option would be very valuable, or at least some kind of a participation on future upswings in value.
David, if it's okay in a little bit, I'm going to open it up for some questions from our audience. Is that all right with you?
That'd be great. I like that part the best.
Okay, so if anyone has a question for David about property management or master leasing, all you need to do is press *6 on your phone, and that will put you in line to ask your question. You can also send an email to Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at cashflowdepot.com, and I'll be glad to ask the question for you. But we really love those live questions, so push *6 to ask a question. Just a minute, I'm going to go to we've already got some people lined up. So one question that was already emailed in, David, is do you have any suggestions on how to find a master lease?
Yeah, I think it's only up to your imagination. I mean, I like Phil Cook's idea, one of the best. Pick a neighborhood you like and knock on doors in the neighborhood and tell people you want to lease a house in that area, and who do they know that may have a house that is no longer needed or maybe a potential divorce or whatever. So I think that works well. Jimmy Napier had a great approach. He would call on houses for sale by owner, and he actually would call on houses for sale by rent, but I'm using it to illustrate master leasing now. He'd call on houses for sale and say, I'm calling about your house for rent. And they'd say, no, it's not for rent, it's for sale. And he'd say, oh, I thought it was for rent. No, it's for sale. And then only as Jimmy Napier could do, he would say one word, and it was, oh. And he wouldn't say another word. I think he'd take the phone and he'd go put it down. He wouldn't say another word. And after 30 seconds or so, sometimes people would say, well, we've been trying to sell it and it hadn't sold, so maybe we rent it. Boom, you got one. You know, I mean, There's David Pond in Fort Collins, Colorado. He got a title company to give him the addresses of where tax notices were sent out of town owners in a neighborhood that he liked. And he went by and he took a picture of every house, turned it into a postcard, sent him the postcard. And on the back of the postcard, it said, "I guess you didn't know it was happening. If I can help, let me know." He built up a business real quickly. There's just so many ways you can do it. You know, go to foreclosure, eviction court. You know, that's a day landlords aren't happy to be in the business. Anything that a property management company can do, you can do. With the exception, you cannot hold yourself out as a property manager, because you're not. Most states require licensing for that. In many cases, it would be a felony to do so, and so you want to be very careful not to in any way, shape, or form advertise yourself as a property manager. You can advertise yourself as a professional landlord, as an entrepreneur. There's lots of things you can do, but just don't hold yourself out as a property manager unless you're in a state, and there are a few states, Idaho, Maryland, I believe, Texas at one point used to be, I just don't know anymore, where you did not require licensing to be in to manage other people's properties.
Right. One of the things I know that's worked really well for some of the Cashflow Depot members is to just monitor Zillow, properties that are for rent on Zillow. And if
Right.
it's been for rent 30 days and they don't have a tenant yet, those landlords, those owners, they're getting a little bit nervous. 30 days, it's been, and it may have been 60 days. They might have had 30 days of painting and doing renovations, no rent coming in. Another 30 days, it's not rented yet. They're starting to get nervous. It's a good time for you to go in and make your offer.
There's so many of them. Another one is if you've got a good relationship with an insurance guy who does property insurance, and he's got customers that have a house that is they're moving out of town, and they can't sell the darn house. The insurance goes bad, and you know, for vandalism and what have you, in like 30 or 60 days. So you can go to that insurance agent and say, "I got a problem. I mean, I got a solution to your problem, your customer's problem. And if you refer me to them, it will keep the insurance on the books, and that will be good for you too." So there's so many different ways that you can acquire them. You number one, you got to ask people. You got to tell everyone you know what you want. You got to tell people at your kid's school. You got to tell people at your church. You got to tell people what you want to be able to get it. But if you tell people, once you get one, you do a good job, they'll refer you to another. All of a sudden, it starts snowballing.
Exactly. So let me go to our first question right here. I don't know the name. I just know it's area code 650. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ray. I'm in the Bay Area. I happened, I guess, a while back, I went ahead and got a real estate license. I'm a sales license here in California. And you kind of touched on this a little bit, that you can't advertise yourself as a property manager. And you may not have the answer to this question, but do you know if as a licensed agent, whether I'm held to maybe an even higher standard of that?
Well, I think that as a licensed agent, you always are held to a higher standard. So I think you got to say, number one, am I allowed to do this? And the answer to that is absolutely you are. Why not? Are you allowed to buy property? Yes, you're allowed to buy property. Are you allowed to rent property? Yes, you're allowed to rent property. Are you allowed to rent property and sublease it to someone else if your lease gives you that permission? Yes, you can do that. What you need to do is disclose. Disclose your license. Disclose you're doing it to make a buck. Disclose that you're doing it for your profit, your wife's profit, your kids' profits. For the only reason you're in it is to make a buck. That you're not advising them in any way, shape, or form about the real estate. And what you will find, I have a full page of disclosure because I was licensed. I was a licensed broker. I can't tell you when I got rid of it. I can't remember. But I was a licensed broker for all of this time. And what I really found is when you give that disclosure, when you tell people you're here to make a dollar, you're here to make money, people find it so refreshing because most folks come in and say, I'm here to help you. They're not there to help you. They're there to make money. Now, if me making money is good for you, we'll do business. If not, we won't do business. But no, you can certainly do that.
Okay. And then
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Just one other follow-up question, if I may.
Sure.
Can you walk me through a scenario that maybe a conversation you would have with an owner on enticing them to lease with you, and then you giving you the freedom to sublease to someone else?
Well, since there is no map to the gold mine, and since each discussion is going to be totally different depending on the scenario, what really happens is I find someone that's got a problem, and I know that I've got a number of ways I can come up with a solution, but I force myself, I don't really want to, but I force myself to spend at least 45 minutes developing their problem, asking about them and their situation and what they want to accomplish, because, you know, their situation, it takes a while to drag out of them what their real needs are. And once you, I really want to tell them how great our system is and how we get all our rents before the first of the month, how I only had one eviction in 1981, how we go from a tenant to a tenant with no downtime, and all the fun things to tell them, and how our operation works. But I really, you need to spend time. People like it when you ask them questions and you show concern for them. Once you do that, you'll find out what their needs are. Then you can say, well, you know, I have something that might work for you. You know, I don't know. And the nice thing about master leasing is you don't have to ask them a yes-no question. Do you want to do this or not? It's which one do you want? Do you want to take the risk and you get the reward, Mr. and Ms. Owner? Or do you want me to take the risk and I'll get the reward? And so if you give them choices, that will narrow them in, and they'll find it less. You'll have a much better chance of doing a transaction. You'll find I do some very strange things actually, in that oftentimes they'll be talking to me, and I'll say, "Now, what we do is quite unusual, and it's not for everyone. And I really think you need to go talk to some traditional property managers. And then, if you like what I've told you, then come back." And you find if you tell people you don't need their money and you're sending them away, they want to do more business with you. So it's kind of an interesting deal. I don't try and close them. It's not a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know, close them on the first time. I want to spend time and have them get comfortable with me. And I'm using that time with them, quite honestly, to screen them, because you don't want to do business with every owner. The toughest part of the property management business, whether you're a fee manager or a master tenant, is really not the tenants, it's the owners. The owners think they own the property and they want to call you up and tell you what they think you ought to do to run it. They don't understand that all that you've got is your time and your expertise, and they've got to give you free rein. And so my contracts do that, and master leasing gives you a lot more free rein than a traditional management agreement will ever do.
Awesome. Well, thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks so much for your question. David, I want to thank you so much for being on the call tonight, and I want to thank everybody that called in tonight. Also, make sure you go to David, to check on his seminar that's coming up September 27th through the 29th. And if you sign up early, you can get a discount. So, David, any final words of wisdom for people that are considering going down this avenue for getting started or expanding their real estate business?
Well, I have a business Facebook page. Don't ask to friend me on Facebook, because I don't use Facebook at all. But I do post articles that I think are germane to the industry. And I have a couple of videos I put on that Facebook page that may be of interest to some folks. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/hasslefreeseminars. And so that might be of interest. I really would recommend those who are not members of Cashflow Depot to consider joining. I mean, I think the information there is just incredible. My primary mentor as I was coming up, and I had a number of wonderful mentors that taught me everything I know and a lot that I should know but don't, was Jack Miller. And he's no longer with us, but you can access a lot of his information there. So if there's one bit of advice I can give to people who are on this call who are not part of Cashflow Depot, I just think it's a wonderful service. You get to hear people like Peter Fortunato and Dyke Spotiford and Bill Cook and any number of excellent folks that are real estate educators that are educating. Their support income does not come from educating. They're educating because it's a time in their life when they want to give back. So that's all I can tell you at this point, I think.
Well, thank you so much for being on the call. And at Cashflow Depot, we do have a lot of interviews with people besides David Chilney, interviews with other people that are doing master leasing and that are doing management the way that David teaches it to be done. But you have to get the groundwork. You have to get the basics, and that all starts with going to one of his seminars and getting the right paperwork. And you know, it's getting the right attitude because, like you said, so many people started out with the attitude, "I love everything about real estate except tenants," and you have to get out of that mindset. And with David's class, you're going to learn how you're going to love your tenants. Because they're the ones that take care of the house. They're the ones that are paying off the mortgage on houses that you already own. They're the ones that make your job easy whenever you pick the right tenants. And he has a whole section on picking the right tenants. So it's very important to go to thank you again. For being on the call tonight. Thank you for everybody that called in tonight. And I will see you again soon. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much, Jackie. Good night.
Thank you.